2 Corinthians, first chapter, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and to Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as we are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, so much that we despaired even of life. For we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Let us pray. Father, again, thanking you today for your word, the Bible. Thank you so much what you've done in Vacation Bible School. Lord, what you've done is a miracle. It's wonderful. And Lord, we give you credit. We give you honor, Lord, for it. We ask their blessings upon the remainder 2 days of this program. We would ask your blessings once again for safety, Father, for all of our buses, all of our people. And you just help us to honor you. Then, Father, tonight, though, we need you. We need your power. We need your wisdom. And I ask that your perfect and wonderful will be done here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. 1 Corinthians is a book. And I'm talking about 1 Corinthians, not 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is a book which really deals a lot with the order of the church. 1 Corinthians is a marvelous book to go through and to find the troubles and problems that was going on in the church. And Paul taking those one at a time and straightening them out, dealing with them, and helping to straighten them out. Now, 2 Corinthians, we certainly have at the beginning of it an account of a man who was being disciplined. Of course, this was over in 1 Corinthians, but we find him being disciplined here. And I say also not only disciplined, but matured and brought back into the fellowship. We have a lot of things in this wonderful book, again, in 2 Corinthians, but he begins off with the message, the ministry of comfort. And that's the message that I want to preach to you tonight, the ministry of comfort. Is it a ministry that you and I ought to have? Is it only a ministry that preachers have? No way. It's a ministry that each and every one of us ought to have. And we hope tonight that we'll look at this in a way that maybe will help you and understand the great ministry of comfort. Everybody has suffered certain sufferings as a Christian. But the whole thing is how have we allowed it to affect us? Have we let God help us in those sufferings? That's going to determine whether we're going to help anybody else. Only through sufferings, the suffering of Christ, and him helping us, and we allowing him to help us, are we ever going to be able to be a blessing and have that what we call the ministry of suffering. Paul here, I believe, opens his heart as to what God's dealing was within him. He has a lot to say about the inward Paul, him as a person, and what was going on in him. We know, and I'm not going to turn over there, but the news had reached, and that's in the 7th chapter, but the news had reached Paul of the reception that they had gotten from his first letter. And he spoke about the godly sorrow, that some certainly had godly sorrow, but he also spoke about the worldly sorrow. And he divided the two. And let me say, godly sorrow will lead to repentance, and the Bible says unto salvation. We know that the ungodly sorrow, the worldly sorrow, we're just sorry. You know that this happened and this came upon us. You know, it's not a godly sorrow. It's not a deep-seated sorrow. It's different. And Paul begins to explain that in this book. But over in verse number 3, he says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." He lets us know, first of all, that and when he talks about the Father of mercies, he's talking about the Father of compassion. There's no doubt you and I know that God Almighty has compassion for us. It's a great compassion. It's his mercy toward us. And he says, and the God of all comfort. And that word comfort there speaks also, and speaks more than this, but it speaks of encouragement. The day we was referring to the home and preaching on the home, and I ended it, and I didn't have time really to really deal in with to that, but it's the message of encouragement ought to be part of the home. The purpose for the home ought to be a place where young people can be encouraged and comforted and helped. It ought not to be a place where they get discouragement all the time. It ought to be a place of encouragement. And I think I even mentioned, doesn't God encourage you? Does God encourage you? He's the God of all comfort and all mercies. And so certainly God encourages us, and we need to also have the ministry of encouragement. Now let's look at verse number 4 and 5. And comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. The word consolation there speaks also of the word comfort. One of the words that you find in the concordance when you open it up and you look to the word consolation, you find one of the words that's used is comfort. So he's using that again. And I believe that what God is doing here is opening up a ministry to each and every one of us. He's opening up the ministry of comfort, of encouragement. That ought to be part of our ministry. It's not just for the preachers. It's for every single individual. It's for all that we can be and we can have, you see, because everybody is not going to be called to preach in public. That's just truth. Everybody's not going to be called to that. But let me say to you, I believe that everyone should have the ministry of comfort. If you've suffered in the things of Christ, then you can have a ministry of comfort to other people, you see. I was talking to a person just the other day, they was telling me, and I won't go through the story, but they was telling me about the people they was dealing with and helping, and there was some problems and troubles, and they'd come to them, and the person had said to them, "You've been such a comfort to me." Well, that's a ministry of comfort. We need to realize that God is opening up that ministry to all. When you look at that, he says, "Who comforted us in all of our tribulation?" He says that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted of God. He said, you see, he was comforted of God, and he said, now we ought to return that, and we ought to show comfort to others. Why? Because God showed us comfort. God helped us. And he says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." He said, I am suffered the sufferings of Christ, but it's Christ also that has comforted me. I'm suffering for him. I'm suffering many things, but it's also God that comforts me, you see. So he's the God of all comfort. But let me say to you, I believe this ministry that we're talking about tonight is a costly ministry. I believe that those who have suffered in the things of Christ, as the Apostle Paul did, are also then comforted by God, and then also then are used to comfort others. So it's a costly ministry. It's one that a lot of people don't want because they don't want to go through the sufferings that Christ went through. I'm not talking about all of the sufferings. I'm just talking about to suffer with him in the ministry. And I'm not talking about just a preacher. I'm talking about in the ministry, working for God. See, there's suffering there, and God comes along and comforts us. And I don't know your particular details in life, but I can only say to you, Hasn't there been those wonderful times when the God of all comfort has come to you and comforted you in some of the most difficult times of life? Well, he wants us then, what for? What's he want us to do? Well, he wants us to return that and be a blessing to other people, you see. And let me make a statement here in the midst of this message. You know, there's a lot of times there's a statement made that we cannot comfort someone unless you have went through exactly what they're going through. Let me say that is not true. Now listen to me. I know that if you maybe are ill and you had the same illnesses, you could be a blessing to each other, and you can certainly be an encouragement to each other, and you might understand a little more than someone else understood because you have been exactly went through that same thing. But I want to tell you, our ministry would be limited if we had to have everything. I want to tell you right now, if this pastor had to have everything that you've had, I'm in trouble. Amen? I mean, that's a variety of things, and I really am in trouble if I've got to be able to comfort you. You know why I can comfort you? Because I've been through sufferings of Christ. I also have suffered, maybe not exactly what you're suffering, but I've had the comfort of God come to me. You understand? And I have suffered, so I may not be able to understand your only particular little thing that you're, not just little thing, but the thing you're going through. I may not have all the understanding of that. Maybe somebody who could be a blessing to you who has went through that. But I can comfort you because God has comforted me. Amen? He has comforted me in many, many things. And so I can come to you and I trust can comfort you. And you also can comfort other folk when you've been through the sufferings of Christ. Amen? And that's what God is telling us that we should do. In verse number 5 and 6, he says, "And as for the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffered, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." He's talking about the afflictions that we have. Folks, you know, sometimes we don't like to go through things. I mean, I understand that. I'm not saying that we ought to jump up and down and say hallelujah when there's been some difficult times in our life. But why does God allow us to go through those? For what purpose is it? Sure, it strengthens us. It helps us. But when God comforts us, we're to look to others. We're to take that same, when we see others going through the afflictions, we're to be a blessing and a help to them, a comfort to them, because you've been through afflictions. And that's what Paul was saying. He'd been through afflictions, so we're supposed to return that to other people that's going through and having afflictions in their life. You know, I don't know all of Paul's afflictions. I don't know what he was all talking about here when he talked about his afflictions. I'm sure he was talking about possibly his eyes, problem with his eyes. He had asked God to remove that affliction 3 different times. God had said, "No, my grace is sufficient for thee." But also, you read the Apostle Paul, you find over and over those times when he was beaten. He was all kinds of things, almost lost his life. He came to the place where he said the sentence of death was upon him. So and that's right here in this scripture. So there's all things that Paul was going through, you know, and when he talked about the afflictions, I don't think he was just talking about one area. I think he was talking about overall area. I've been through the afflictions of Christ, and I want to be a comfort to you because God comforted me in mine, you see. I don't know whether you've ever, well, let's read verse 8 and 9. He says, "But for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we are pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised the dead." Now, if you'll go back, he's talking about in Acts 19, where he was in Ephesus, and the people in Ephesus there is this great goddess Diana, and of course they was raising up against Paul. I mean, Paul, they was going to kill Paul. That's what he was talking about here, the sentence of death that was in him. He went through some terrible, hard, difficult times, you see. And so he had these experiences. He knew what it was to be then comforted by God and helped by God, you see. And so he's also then trying to comfort them. I don't know whether you've ever felt this or not, but have you ever felt as at different times in your life and different people and look at the lost and just feel a great sorrow, I mean deep within, a grieving almost, because they're lost. I mean they're without Christ. This past week Aaron and I was on visitation, and Aaron testified to this, but we We had a whole variety of different visits. It was really interesting. We didn't see anybody saved, but we had a whole variety of different visits that day. And one of the visits that we came upon was this young man and his wife and a little baby, I think about a year and a half old, somewhere in there. And we came up, and he was out in the yard. We began to talk to him. And he was kind to me, gracious to me, but he wanted nothing, absolutely. He said, I'm just not religious. I don't want anything to do with it. He said, I'm not interested. I won't ask him, would he please take the, he wouldn't let me talk to him. Would you please take the material and read it? No, not interested. Just give that to somebody else. And I'll show you why I'm thinking about it here in a minute. But it was so sad. We walked away from there and we said, you know, that little boy that was in that mama's arm is going to grow up in that. And here's a young couple. I suppose they couldn't have been over 20. I don't know, 21. So, you know, everybody looks young. But when you get up here, everybody looks young. But anyway, he was just a precious, you know, family there, a man and a woman and a young and that little baby, you know. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And I just felt a deep grief in me concerning what was going to happen to that little sweet child and that young family. And if you pray for them, all I know is their last name was Swaby. So just pray for them, if you will. We went right on down the road, and we come upon an old couple. I don't know how old they were, but I'm going to tell you, they must have been 80 anyway. Is that old? But I'm going to say there somewhere. They was 80, maybe in their 80s. I don't know. But it was really something. And he was kind of out in the yard there, and he had one of these cement cows in his yard. You know, it was only about that high. And he was out there leaning on it. You could tell he couldn't get around very good. And he was walking like this. And so I stood there and talked to him a few minutes. And here he was, an old man. And we tried to talk to him about the Lord. And he said, I'm just not interested. And he said, because I know I'm going somewhere, but he said, I'm really not worried about it one way or another. And she was sitting up on the porch, and because I had asked him if I could just take a few minutes and tell him how to be saved. And she was sitting right on the porch there, and I said to her, ma'am, would you let me? She, oh, no, 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 no. And so I asked him if he'd take the material. He took it, and he did take it. And he even indicated he might read it. I don't know whether he will or not. But I thought to myself, all this week I've thought about both of those people, and his name was McHenry, Mr. and Mrs. McHenry. And I thought, here's a young couple. In years down the road, if they don't get saved, this is what they're going to be. Old couple that just left God out of their life. And I think that, and this week there's just been a grief in me on both of these couples. I just look at them and I, oh, if they just get saved, a sorrow. You know, I believe we ought to have that kind of sorrow for the lost. I really do. I think there ought to be a grief that folk are not saved, not born again. Amen? And I think there ought to be also on people who have special needs. I mean, people who are in trouble, who have difficulties in life. I think there ought to be a need or a concern and a grief over these folk. And there ought to be us having some compassion on them because they need comfort, you see. So Paul was saying that's the kind of comfort that he had. That's the kind of comfort he wanted to offer these people. He had compassion for them. So he was, of course, entering into the fellowship of Christ's suffering. What he's saying to the Corinthian people is, enter into the fellowship of Christ's suffering. Christ suffered for us. Can you imagine what Jesus Christ, if he was on this earth looking at that older couple and that younger couple, can you imagine the compassion he would feel toward them? That they would not be saved. Why and he would want them to be born again, you see. So Paul had been trained in suffering that he might comfort others. And when you've been trained in suffering, it's to comfort others, to be a blessing and a help to others. Amen? You see, we don't just comfort people by a mere pat on the back. Sometimes we need a pat on the back. Sometimes that's not the real. It's something from within. It's the real concern. It's the real caring. And you know what? You can tell that in people. You can tell if there's a real concern, a care about them. They can read that. They know that. And I think there needs to be that kind of comfort. Verse number 4, he says, and who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. He talked about the tribulation. He talked about the affliction that people were having. And he said, you remember back? He was basically saying, you know how God comforted me? How God comforted me? I need to comfort those who are in having the same tribulation, having the same afflictions. And I need to comfort them. Over in John, and just let me read it to you. But in John, the 16th chapter of John, 33rd verse, here's what he said. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. See, the message is, you know what? Jesus has overcome the world. We can be comforted. Why? Jesus has overcome the world. You may go through tribulation, but Jesus has overcome the world. Amen? And we've got to remember that, you see. And that's more than just, when he's talking about all that tribulation, that's more than just physical suffering, folk. Certainly that's included, but it's more than that. It's the stresses of life. It's the problems of life. It's those things that you go through and trouble. Your mind is troubled over them. Your problems arise. It's all of those things. I was talking to our insurance agent the other day on the building here, the Brotherhood, and they hold all of our insurance things. And I was talking to Roy Fuller and talking to him, and he said, it's interesting. You know, your insurance people are so nice to you. He said, I didn't know, Brother Ross, are you still alive? And he laughed. I said, all right, Brother Fuller, why are you telling me that for? He said, well, your job is right at the top. It's the highest stress job there is. That's what he said. I said, oh, my goodness, I didn't know that. I'm going to probably die tomorrow. I said, now that I know that, I'm in real trouble. But that's what he said. And, he said, well, listen, folks, we need God's comfort. We need God's comfort. We need his help. Amen. We can't make it without him. Can't do it. And we need his comfort, you see. And let me tell you something. This ministry he's talking about here is not obtained at some university or college. You don't, you get it at it's the college of experiences. It's where you get it. You don't learn that in some book. Paul didn't learn that in some book. He got it from experiences that he'd went through, and how that the tribulation and afflictions that this man went through, you see, why? So he could comfort others. Amen? I don't have to look too far around, and even in my people and other people, to realize that God's people are going through terrific pressures. We're living in a time when they're going through terrific pressures. Yes, they are. Tensions and problems develop all the time. And folks, listen. You need God's help to live from day to day. You need God's help. And we need to be a help to each other. I'm not talking about patting somebody on the back who's deliberately just doing wrong against the Word of God. There's a difference between discipline and comfort. There's times they need discipline because they're doing it because they want to do it. They're not walking right. They're not doing right. That's times you have to discipline. But let me say to you also, there's a lot of times when there's just tensions and problems and pressures in their life, and they need comfort, they need help, they need encouragement, you see. Paul is saying he had had the same experience. He had had these experiences, so he was going to comfort the people at Corinth, you see. But let me again say this. You're going to have to submit to God's comfort. You're going to have to submit to some suffering in Christ before you'll ever have a ministry of comfort. You're going to have to go through it. You're going to have to say, okay, you know, God is allowing me to go through this, and I'm going to submit myself. I'm going to learn. I'm going to grow so I can be a blessing to someone else, be a comfort to someone else. You see, Paul didn't get that by just sitting around somewhere and not going through anything. He received the comfort from God because he was going through things that was very difficult and hard for him to go through, you see. Same way here with us. Now let us look at the price of this ministry. Look in verse number 8 and verse number 9. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we'd be spared even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. If you'll notice here, he said, we were pressed out of measure. Well, I mean, he was pressed down out of measure. He was feeling the pressure of all of these troubles. Not only that, he says, above strength. It was above any strength that I had. He said, it was above strength. It was impossible for me to do this on my own. He said, we despaired even of life. Paul said he thought he was going to lose his life during that time. And he said he had the sentence of death on him. They was threatening to kill him. They was going to kill him. Now, that's what Paul was going through, you see. Why all of that? Why did Paul go through all of that? Look at verse number 9. He says, at the end of it, but in God, trust in ourselves. We should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. You know what? You know why the Apostle Paul was brought to all this? I know so he could comfort others. You know why? That God would have to be his strength if he's going to make it through. That he wouldn't trust in himself, you see. Not in self, but in God Almighty. That was the whole thing. And I believe something. I believe that God works in our life to bring us to that place where we will absolutely learn to have no confidence whatsoever in flesh. And boy, that's a hard place to get to. We just don't want to get there. We want to have the control. But God brought Paul down to the place where, you know what? He understood. He knew. He could do nothing. It was God that delivered him and brought him through that and no one else. We need to quit having confidence in the flesh and put our confidence back in God. Amen. You know, he said above strength there. He said above strength. That would be like a ship that was all loaded down with a weight that was almost ready to sink it. He said, that's where I was. I was above strength. I couldn't hardly stay afloat. And what he was saying is, but God comforted me. God helped me. It would be like an old beast of burden that was so loaded down, he couldn't hardly move. He had too big of a load on him, and he couldn't hardly move one step to the next. That's what Paul is saying. I was above strength. I couldn't make it. I couldn't go. But God helped me. God strengthened me, you see. And I might say to you, have you ever been there? Maybe not like Paul was. Maybe you haven't been there like Paul was, but have you ever been there? You ever just had some times when you just got to the bottom and you just don't feel like you can go anymore? You just don't know what you're going to do. You just can't make it. Well, isn't it strange you're all here tonight? You made it? Did you make it through? Well, who made it through for you? It was God that did it. See, that's what Paul, he's wanting us to know. There's no confidence in the flesh, folks. None whatsoever. No. We must have our confidence in God. That's where our strength is, you see. Why? Why does he do that to you and I? That we might trust in God. He wants your trust to be in God. That's why he done it in Paul's life. He wants your trust in God. Boy, get up in the morning and realize that you can't make it through that day without God. No, you can't. You think you can. You're going to do it in your own strength. You won't make it. No, not really you won't. You won't make it without God. Amen. You and I need to learn that. People throughout the Bible was like that. Job was like that. Job come to the end of everything, and yet God strengthened him and returned blessings upon blessings in his life. Elijah was that way. Elijah was ready to die. He said, I've had enough. I'm ready to die. And yet God come. You remember when the angel come and fed him, strengthened him, you know, fed him a meal. Amen. You see, and then old Jonah, wasn't Jonah that way? Jonah was down, at the bottom, you know, and they threw him clear down into the old into the sea, and the whale swallowed him up. He didn't know what to do, but he called out to God, and God helped him. So what I'm simply saying to you, that's what Paul is saying. You know, Paul is simply saying to you, look, you're not going to make it without God. You've got to have your strength, your confidence in God. You must get your strength from God Almighty, you see. And then what? Well, comfort others. Don't just look to yourself. Be a comfort to others, you see. We've got, as I said earlier, you know, sometimes we have same experiences as someone else. But let me just say, what you and I need to do is learn through the experiences of the sufferings of Christ. Learn to trust in God. That's where your strength is. There isn't any anywhere else. You're going to fall, you're going to falter, and God won't let you continue to be confident in yourself. He's not going to do it. No. He's going to bring you down to the bottom. So you look up. however long that takes, he's very patient. He's trying to get rid of that self-confidence. Old self can get it done. Self can take care of it, you see. But the Apostle Paul, in fact, just to give you an illustration, Paul here was certainly had his confidence certainly times, many times, I think, shattered. But I think back to that time when in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, you know, even on the road to Damascus, you know, he came to the end of himself. He trusted Christ. He put his faith and trust in Christ. But over in 2 Corinthians, God also there allowed that affliction to come upon his life where that he had to trust in the grace of God. This is the Apostle Paul who started way back here, he went through all kinds of things, and yet God was still dealing with the Apostle Paul. Have you ever taken time just to kind of take a walk through there and you find all your hopes and all your aspirations are gone? Things didn't turn out like you wanted them. It just didn't work. You ever been there? All your dreams have become valleys of dry bones. See, there's not a person out here that hasn't had dreams that did not come to fruition. Not a person in here. You wanted this, you wanted that, not necessarily bad. You wanted things to be different in your life, you see. About that time you look up and your prayer life is gone and the Bible becomes stale. It's just a book that you pick up and read because you're supposed to. Don't say a whole lot to you. Well, God's trying to bring you down to the bottom to look up, get your confidence off of self so that you might be able to help other folks. There's all kind of folk out there that's hurting. I mean, they're hurting. And wouldn't it be a blessing if we just take that ministry that God gave Paul and gave to the rest of us and use it to be a blessing and a help and encouragement to those around us? This ministry of comfort. You know the best time to rescue a drowning man? When he's almost drowned. Because he don't have any strength left. He can't fight you. My brother Marvin, you've seen Marvin, you've met Marvin, most of you here. He almost drowned when he was a young man. I can take you to the spot right today. I know exactly where it was, what we used to call Crow's Bridge. Benny, you probably remember where that's at, down around Greencastle, Crow's Bridge. And he was swimming out there, and he almost drowned. And a fellow who saved his life knew and understood the principle that they'll fight you. They'll fight you because they're trying to grab a hold of something. He literally pulled back his fist and hit Marvin practically as hard as he could. Knocked him about half silly. And then took him and brought him into shore. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes God has to draw back and hit us. Now maybe not like that. But he draws back and he just lets us have it. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get that self-confidence out of us. He's trying to help us to be what we should be for God. So don't be discouraged when God does that. Don't be discouraged when God brings you down to where you don't have any strength left. It's exactly where he's trying to bring you. Amen? And we fight it. Boy, do we fight it. We don't want to be there. We don't want to be not in control. But God wants to be in control. Why? To show you that you can't have confidence in the flesh, but your confidence must be in God. Your trust must be in God. Amen? And why? Well, so that you can then be a comfort to others. The ministry of comfort. You'll never be a help to anybody else until you've yielded yourself to God's comfort. You went through the sufferings and you've yielded yourself as God has helped you, then you return that help to other folk. I guess what I'd like to say tonight is just simply this. Learn to look to others. It isn't always about you. It's about others. Amen. There's people hurting. There's people have needs. just let God use you in the ministry of comfort. Let's pray. Father, again, thanking you today for your wonderful grace, your goodness, and Lord, the comfort in which you've comforted us. Lord, the mercies of God, the comfort of God, the great encouragement we get from you, the love that's bestowed upon us, Lord, through your Son. Thank you so much. And now, Father, we just need to remember there's no confidence in us. We should not have confidence in the flesh, but our confidence must be in God. You help us, Lord, to recognize that, understand that. And Father, help us then to turn our attention away from self and to others, that we might be a blessing. We'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.